Good evening, Brent. Indeed, it is good that we can come back to the house of the Lord this evening. And let us turn to, or let's look at Psalm 42 as I read this whole psalm. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee, land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. Father, indeed, we thank thee for the reading of thy holy and precious word. Grant us understanding and wisdom, Lord, as we look at some wonderful truths from this psalm. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is another very challenging psalm to understand. And I have indeed learned deep truths about this wonderful psalm that I just read. The sons of Korah was an eminent order of singers, was mentioned early on, in the house of God. You can find them in 1 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 33. Also in Matthew Henry's commentary, he noted that it was actually David who wrote this. More than likely he wrote this psalm. I just quote his for saying that. It was at a time when, either by Saul's persecution or Absalom's rebellion, he was driven from the sanctuary and cut off from the privilege of waiting upon God in public ordinances. So that's his reasoning. And also many writers and commentators have said that David is the one who wrote this psalm. If we look at verse 1, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to briefly touch on about five verses, and that should give us enough insight into how this psalmist felt. He was in a very depressed state. Verse 1 gives us a picture of a thirsty deer. It is very natural actually for any animal, or that matter, any living thing, even plants, that they go hungry and thirsty. I know plants don't talk, but they need water also. Without water, they will die. Even chili plants or whatever plants you grow. And more so for human beings. So it drives and motivates the deer to go to great lengths to find for water. As we know, we can survive much longer without food. But without water, we'll be dead. It don't take long to survive without water. And you also hear stories of people. They get lost in the outback. when I say outback, it's in the bush in Australia, they call it outback, intense heat. And their vehicles get bogged down and they are left for dead. Not long ago, I remember in the Kimberley somewhere, you can see their vehicle, they got stranded, they got bogged because of the heavy, very wet condition there. And their vehicle got bogged. No doubt it wasn't very hot, but without water, you cannot survive for more than 2-3 days. So even those who are trapped in earthquake will realize that, why, if there's a pocket of air and some water, without food they still can survive, but not too long at least. So here David paints a picture of a deer seeking after water. But in his case, it is God. He's referring to his soul thirsting for God. He's actually referring to his soul. The soul actually is his deepest life. That's the meaning of soul. And if you look at verse 2, he also gives an impression of his spiritual thirst for God as a soul yearning and longing for God. Can we say that with ourselves? Can we say that we long and yearn for God's righteousness daily in our lives? I think this is a very noble desire to have and to seek God. And even the Beatitudes teach us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, in Matthew 16. And what is this righteousness that our Lord is talking about? It is the word of God. In John 17:17 it says, sanctify them through my truth. Thy word is truth. Another Old Testament verse I can refer to is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. If we are sincere in our desire to seek and thirst after righteousness, actually our Lord calls us blessed. We compare to those who seek after false gods, those who seek after the true and living God. Our God, our Lord commanded them, we are blessed. And what are the factors that cause someone to thirst for God, the soul thirst we call it? Someone who is new to the faith can also have this thirst for God. They show great enthusiasm. You can see them, some of these new Christians, they burn for the Lord because they are enthusiastic. They are regular in church services, they are regular in Bible study classes, and they will be very punctual. And you can see spiritual growth in their life. Remember, we cast our minds back to in America, 9/11, that incident, that horrible incident. That incident sparked a small revival, I would say, in America. People flocked to churches, I mean. Because why? I mean, America was under attack, and people are afraid that the terrorists or the bombers will bomb the whole country. So they plead to God. And America actually went on its knees. Church attendances saw it increase, some even triple, double. Then after a while, it tapers down. Attendances came back to normal. So it's a human tendency that we don't seek God. When trouble is over, we put God aside. How about us, as if we search our own lives? How about our own personal front? Those who face difficulties in their life, those who face flooding, cyclones, fire, sickness, all these circumstances can drive us closer to God also. Just like David, when he also gone through this very difficult personal difficulties that he faced. And what about waiting upon the Lord? Waiting upon the Lord also keeps us near to God. Maybe we have something that we have in mind. Say like a pastor who's waiting for his next call, his next ministry that he wants to give his life to. So he's waiting upon the Lord. or change in somebody's career, or looking for a life partner. There's many circumstances in life that makes us draw nigh to God. We pray to God. So this psalmist is, if you look at verse 3, he gives an indication that he's in a very depressed and state and sad state. He's very depressed from how he wrote the psalm. He's constantly crying. And the verse says, tears come so frequently that it's compared to food to him, like staple food. He's virtually drinking his own tears, consuming his tears day and night. As we know, tears is very much a part of the human emotional experience. To some, tears come very easily. But to others, tears seldom come. I mean, if we all know our Lord Jesus Christ, the shortest verse, Jesus wept. Why did our Lord wept? He showed compassion. He showed compassion to the family of Lazarus. I'm sure he's God, but yet he showed his human feelings towards someone who is in sadness, and he wept. So this is one of the circumstances why people shed tears. And what are some things that bring tears to our eyes? What about King David? He wept over the death of his son. I'm sure when he wrote Psalm 51, he wrote it with a very heavy heart. No doubt Psalm 51 did not say that David wept, but you can feel for him. He must have wept over his sins. The psalm that is preached very often, Psalm 51, that we must take note of. And what about those who have severe health problems? Or if you are diagnosed with a terminal illness, don't you weep? I'm sure some people weep, or they feel very sad over the health problem. And what about if you lose a loved one? What about family breakups? All this can bring you to your tears. Or even migrating to another country. I can speak for myself, but let me talk about Pastor Ed first. He did mention once that his family was migrating to US from Holland, and he and his sister went to see the grandparents, and the grandparents wept because they don't know when they're going to see their grandchildren. So that's his testimony to us, even your loved ones. And I can relate my own experience also. 38 years ago, I remember, 1975, I sailed to Australia. At that time, your friends, your relatives will come, and we were all on the top deck. Then the captain blew the horn, so all the passengers and relatives had to leave the ship, because they were joking to me. I haven't been to Australia, but I took that bold step in 1975 to migrate to Australia. And they were joking and talking to me, what a great country, land of milk and honey. But I can understand my mom. Next minute, I hear her weeping, and she hugged me. So that's a long time ago, 38 years ago, but I can remember seeing her own mother weep, seeing that her son is leaving the country. But thank God we can reunite after a year or so. But then there are people who left the country and you never see them. They might die or they might have a sickness or so. So these two instances about Pastor and myself, these are life experiences that we experience. The psalmist here is being mocked in verse 3 by his enemies. And also in verse 10. In verse 3, he says he's being mocked continually. And in verse 10, he's mocked daily. Where is thy God? What if someone come up to you and question you? Where is your God? Job also experienced this, as his friends mock him in Job 16:20. My friends scorned me, but my eyes poured out tears unto God. That's his reply. So he also was mocked, Job. Even though Job's friends scorn and insult him, his teary eyes is focused unto God, who will vindicate his cause. When we are challenged by someone, can we pick a verse and prove it to them that there is God? I think this verse is a very wonderful verse. If you can, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. This verse is a very wonderful verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. I read, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else." This is a true statement. The wonderful God that we have. He is in heaven and he is on earth. The Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. So there is no other God. None of these statues or whatever gods that people worship. The sun god or the moon god. First of all, it gives an indication that the psalmist's situation takes a turn for the better. He was quite down for three verses. But verse 4, you can see that there's a slight improvement in his situation. As he dwells on the positive, sometimes in life, positive things can lift you up. He's used his memory. His memory comes back that God has given him. He's feeding on good memories and not on negatives. It can take the pain and sorrows from our heart. The psalmist here recalled the joy of worship and praise in the house of the Lord. So this also should speak to us. When we come to the house of the Lord, are we coming here with a very sad and sour face, or do we come here to have this joy in worship and joy in fellowship? Can we learn from the psalmist? We may have a rough week at work. Sometimes at work, we may face ups and downs. Do we let all this disturb us in our spiritual life? Things don't go well and we look forward to the positive. Our worship and praise on the Lord's Day. So whatever happened in our daily life, let all this negativity bring us down. To end this short exhortation, the psalmist draw on the power of hope. And in verse 5, there's a sentence there, "Hope thou in God." So after all, he was in a valley, now he's coming up again. And he dwells on this, "Hope thou in God." Our human understanding of hope is a very different how God looks at hope. We understand hope as we hope things will happen, or we hope things will not happen that way. That's our human understanding. But when we look at God's word, I like the way Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 17 says, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That's a wonderful explanation of the meaning of hope. I read again, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." May this short exhortation from Psalm 42 encourage our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we indeed give thee thanks for thy word. May thy words indeed encourage us as we go through difficulties in our life, as David has. May this also be a learning curve for us to look unto thee, for thou art the author and finisher of our faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.